Blog Talk Radio. And welcome, everyone, to the Saturday Night Sports Show. I am your host tonight, Seth. I usually go by Skip, but the co-host tonight will also be Pubs, but he also goes by Skip. So I don't know what we're going to do here. Skeet, which everyone on the show here knows as the captain, is feeling a little under the weather. Now, he is going to be running the chat room. We can always still take calls, which is fine. Without ado, could I please bring on the co-host of Pubs?
Hello.
Shalom.
You're there. Happy Saturday, everybody.
Yes, yeah, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Thank you. Pubs, last week, let's just get into it. Anything and everything, what did you take out of last week as your highlights and your lows?
Okay, I don't know if it was in the last week, maybe week and a half, but Dame Dime getting traded from the Blazers to the Bucks, that's big. That shakes up the East. And it was a three-team trade. Drew Holiday goes west. Then they dealt him to the Celtics. So now we've got those two are shaping up. The Eastern Conference for NBA basketball, they're shaping up, like, squared off. I think to me that was the loudest thing that I heard, just taking it all in, right? That's pretty big. All NBA. He's max contract. He's big name. And then the rejuvenation somebody feels. They've been in some place so long, and they start losing for so long. You know what I'm saying? They come back to life little more. Getting shipped out. To a winning situation. He's really walking into a great situation.
Even though it's not Miami.
It's not Miami that he was hoping for. It's the exact opposite. It's Milwaukee. Right? He's not getting surf and turf.
Pubs, this is an NFL show right now, this week. We appreciate that. That was a great segment. That was the most NBA that's been spoken upon this show for the last three years.
It's my least favorite sports league nowadays. It's not like when we were growing up.
Oh, no, we can go into the semantics. Literally, people, the semantics.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Right. We don't want to know. It's okay. There's a reason why people have abandoned the NBA.
Right.
It's not a good reason. I mean, it is a good reason to abandon it. But anyways... So now we're talking about the NFL. So let's go back a couple steps and let's say to you, what surprised you? What jumped out at you? What did you expect?
I tell you what, last night or Thursday night, I was pleasantly surprised by Justin Fields and the Bears, right? Because Eberflus is playing for his job. Literally, I think 13 or 14 game losing streak going into that game. To quote the great Jerry Glanville, the NFL stands for not for long, right?
And I actually know Bears fans that have been talking that, hey, they hope they lose out. Justin Fields is a bust. And they're looking
right, and they're going for Caleb Williams. They're going for Caleb Williams. But here's the thing, and I'm not bashing Justin Fields. I'm backing him up on this. Their offensive line is trash, dude. Total trash. Like, it's a sieve, right? So he's either, A, running for his life, or he's getting highly priced. Like, he's, you know, like... They got that under control against the Redskins, which I'm not a Redskins fan at all. I, from the top down, don't appreciate that organization or the Washington Commanders or whatever they're called. Like,
I like it when they were the football team. It was a big FU to the NFL. That's a side note.
Did you see that there's Native American groups that are trying to call for Washington to call them the Redskins again?
Yes.
Isn't that just a plot twist that nobody saw coming?
And actually the reason that they have or whatever, and it's like, if you look at signatures of, let's say, supposed regular Americans, whatever you want to call the regular Americans, and they had these signatures to ask the Redskins, or I'm sorry, the Washington organization to revoke that name, right? But now, what if you have more Native American signatures to rescind that? I mean, is that not irony?
Yes, no, if it's a true democracy, right?
When
people's
vote
will count. If it's a true democracy, the people's vote will count. I don't know. You know our heritage. We've got some Native in us. So, like, to me, I don't know. I'm not easily offended, right? I'm just not, because I don't have time for that, right?
I think we see about every Native American or indigenous person to North America, a good sense of humor, mm-hmm. you got to have one. But last week in football, team that has impressed me the most, and I think they're a team you can't just look past. And, of course, now that I'm saying it, watch them get blown out this week. But it's the Houston Texans.
Seth,
this is
out of every team in the first round that took a QB, Houston is sitting and laughing. You took a 5'9 quarterback, number one, Carolina. Congrats. You get what you deserve. True talk, real talk, right? It's like, literally. Remember Flutie Flakes? He was a great inspirational story, and he came out and had some miracle stuff happen. But you can't take a beating, dude. You cannot take a beating.
No,
an NFL quarterback.
Thing. Yeah, no, and here's the thing, Pubs. Houston starts off 0-2. Everyone's writing him off again, right? Rookie quarterback, this, that, whatever.
Right.
And now all of a sudden they go to Jacksonville week 3.
And who was an up-and-coming team, an exciting team, compared, you know, if you're going off last year's stats, the turn Trevor Lawrence made, right? It's like an up-and-coming team. It's a big win.
And the Jacksonville team is actually a complete AFC team.
Oh, yeah, dude. Top to bottom. They got a sweet D-line also, like.
Yeah, no, this is a real team. No, you just played them at their place, and you massacred them, like almost at Masada. And then week 4, you get another victory solidly, and you're 2-2. And if you talk about the AFC versus the NFC being stronger versus weaker and blah, 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 going into the playoffs.
Not the AFC South.
You're saying the AFC West. The AFC does not want to see Houston be a good team. Because there's only so many spots.
Right.
And I'm seeing Houston as a possible... Like, uh-oh. And the first two games, C.J. Stroud's just trying to figure out stuff. He's got to figure it out. And that defense, that's a bunch of young kids that can just keep running.
Their first
all
two picks, they had
long.
Two top three picks this year. Two top three or five, right. Top five picks, whatever. C.J. Stroud. And then they got Will Anderson, the best defensive lineman in the draft, bar none. Everybody said it. It's not even – it's a myth or a rumor. It's a real thing. So, yeah, they've lost some talent over the last couple of years. Deshaun Watson, which good riddance. Like, look at that contract Cleveland's eating right now.
Oh, no, no. And Pub,
$240 million?
When lap. It's all guaranteed. Hot lap. People were all sad. Or I was like, this organization freed up how much money at that point?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. $25 million a year. So now you get a Will Anderson. And what's he go? $3-4 million a year on the rookie contract at the most? And that's a nice rookie contract, $20 million or whatever. $4 million a year. That's a good contract.
Yeah.
They also have, like, a young receiver. I think it's a sophomore season, Nico Collins from the University of Michigan. Big playability.
No, and I understand we're talking about the defense, and I'm excited about this defense. This defense is magnificent, at least for right now. You know, that everything changes in the NFL. But what people are discounting or discrediting or not even acknowledging or knowing about C.J. Stroud is that for the first four games as a rookie quarterback, he has some of the highest percentages ever. And on top of it, he doesn't have an interception yet.
Okay, Seth, how many interceptions did Peyton Manning get in his first year for the lowly Indianapolis Colts? No, I've got the number off the top of my head, Seth. I could never forget it. It was so aborrous. 28 picks in 15 games. Yeah. Multiple picks every game almost.
Right.
So, yeah, no, they're building something, you know? And it looked bleak. It looked really bleak. Last two years there, oh, man. Just.
Oh, no. And it's so funny how the NFL changes only within a couple of years, that when Deshaun Watson was still with Watt, everybody expected him to be a playoff team.
Yeah.
And then it went into dismal disarray for numerous reasons. And everybody just thought they're just going to be on their backs and washed up. And then now you're like, where did they come from? And now
they
accumulated draft picks
at the right time. They accumulated draft picks. They did. They built it back quick.
Oh, no. And that's why some of these team deals that are multiple team deals, people don't remember history and what that Herschel Walker deal
oh, my goodness. Mate, it put Jimmy Johnson in the Hall of Fame is what that did, dude. Right? Dude, all the draft picks out of that?
You know what I'm saying, Pub? So, yeah.
The second worst was the Dolphins trading for Ricky Williams. Saints trading for the draft rights to Ricky Williams. Yeah, Ditka. That was second worst. But today's game is different, dude. You don't have a bell cow back that's going to rush it 350 times.
The fullback doesn't need
18 yards and 20 TDs, dude. It's just – now, dude, everybody's so much bigger, faster, quicker. They hit harder. Running back, you're not just doing collisions. You're doing high rate of speed collisions, right? It's a dangerous game to be a running back. If I had a nephew playing football or whatever, I'd be like, go all offensive line, defensive line or something. Dude, get your $25 million. Just battle the trenches, right?
Oh, I know. That's why Braden being born 12 pounds. And with his last name, I mean, he's total University of Michigan lineman. But, you know, let's see.
Dude,
he likes baseball.
He's an athlete also. He is, Seth. You know why he's an athlete? Same reason we were, and we still are. It's I don't like losing, for one, and I don't like being the worst player there. I'm going to get better. It's basically out of spite, right, is how you get better.
No.
Playing any sport. Like, spiteful reasons, I don't want to be worse than you, right?
Mm. out of last week that you wanted to take out, I mean, what about the NFC North? I know you know a lot about the NFC North, and everybody laughed at where the Packers were supposed to be. And now look at what Chicago is and what Sprota is. I mean, are the Lions the clear-cut favorites to win the North?
Ask Vegas. They know more than us, right? And what does Vegas say? They sure are. They sure are. There's so much heavy betting on the Lions this year. Like, they had the going into the season, I don't know the stats now that the season's playing out or whatever, but going into the season, the most money put on NFL games involved the Detroit Lions. Isn't that just a mind bender for living in Michigan our whole lives, right? For most of it.
No, but Pubs, in all honesty, that may have always been a thing. We just never knew it because people knew that they were going to lose. And it was by how much.
Yeah.
No. Right.
But anyway, for the all right, let's run down the NFC North. Let's start at the top. The Lions, it is their defense this year. Everybody knows Ben Johnson is awesome. Dan Campbell is willing to risk it all.
Dude, we take
the punt inside of our 20, the first game of the season, dude. Like,
no,
literally.
No,
okay, I can get behind that. I can get behind that.
And then on top of it, when you talk about the defense and the fans, Aiden Hutchinson only had 2 sacks, and he had them in 1 game after, like, the first 5 or something. And people were already like, this guy, yeah, and this guy is a bust, and what, they're already complaining. You know, things aren't working out. They haven't
he's
really
learning
had
on the job, bro.
Right? I'm like... he is the least of your
concerns. We've got one of the elites on one side of the line. And then guess what? They move him around. And then we've been building the defensive line through the draft for the last 3-4 years. And we've got a rotation of 8 to 10 guys that we can just bring in, and it just doesn't stop. But
oh,
it's
no.
like, build the trenches up, your offensive line.
And then the offensive line, I mean, if they're all healthy at the same time, that's got to be one of the best offensive lines in the NFL.
Yeah, I think everybody rates the Eagles' offensive line number one, and we might be 2 or 3, you know? Seriously.
No, I put us in top 5, you know?
For sure. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, because, I mean, I look at certain teams, like San Francisco or something, and it's just everywhere and anywhere they have talent. And
no,
you think
San Francisco is the definition of an elite team. It literally is. Right?
No, and it's like,
you
their stars go out for a game or two, and you're thinking, oh, that's where the weak link is. No, that dude is second string. He's been starting for the last 2 years. The starter finally came back.
Right.
You're screwed.
McCaffrey move that they made was so shrewd, though. But it's like, dude, you get the end-all, be-all running back that can catch the ball out of the backfield, which is modern NFL, right? It's like you're not asked to carry the ball. He doesn't carry the ball 30 times. He doesn't carry the ball not even 20 times very much, right? But he'll catch 6 to 10 passes. You're asking a linebacker to cover him coming out of the backfield. Or they'll cheat up a safety. Still, it's not even fair.
Don't even say their name. They just call you CMC.
Yeah. Right.
You have a short
run CMC, dude.
No, and he is amazing. And that guy can do it all. And I felt so bad, as I felt like he still had some good years, but he was in Carolina and that organization where they were at, those playoff days were long.
Carolina had problems from the owners on down. Dude. They got rid of the owner of Carolina. He had to, you know what I'm saying? So if it was toxic from the top, from the owner, how could there be any blessings underneath that? There can't be. You cannot have a team.
Mitzvah,
right?
There's Mitzvah there. Yeah.
Right. It's like Washington get rid of Daniel Snyder. The NFL evicted his ass. Like, no, dude, you're running a grimy, grimy thing here. Right? They got rid of him. So, and Washington's such a PowerPoint play in the United States. Like, dude, Washington teams get plenty of press, right? And if they win, if they start winning, they're going to get three times the press that any other team would because they have such a big press there. It's like,
right. Oh, Pubs, just before we start the picks, the last team that I just want to talk about, they are 4-0, and I think we should talk about them. The Philadelphia
Eagles. They're 4-0. The Eagles?
Are they still for real? And what do you think is really going to happen?
In the NFC East?
Yes, with the Eagles.
Okay, so we've got the same old Cowboys.
Right.
You got the Washington Commanders. You have
the Giants.
The Eagles.
The
and the Giants. Okay. So who's laid an egg in the first pseudo quarter of the year? The Giants have. Horrible. And they got horrible news. I don't know. So the Eagles, anyway, they can be defeated for sure. To me, the creme de la creme of the NFC right now is still Eagles and the 49ers. Those are the two best teams.
The 49ers and who?
The Eagles.
Oh,
that's who's
coming
out.
I think
the NFC.
They're the standard crass, but I would say the 49ers are just that one gear ahead of the Eagles. They're in fifth gear already, and the Eagles are in fourth gear. Well, whether the Eagles get to fifth gear or not, they probably will. But for right now, I think they're only in fourth gear, and they're still 4-0, which is crazy.
Right. Yeah, they haven't played their best football, for sure.
Mm-hmm. No, that's where people should be scared of the Eagles. Like, they're not playing good football and they're winning.
Seth, I know, but that's what winners do, right? That's what winners do. Like, you...
Well, that's where I think people...
You're not playing at your best, but you still win.
No, that's where I think people just discrediting the Eagles. They just don't realize that they're not playing good.
Come on.
And they're still finding ways to win week in, week out.
Go.
That when it all clicks and they start winning 38-17 and then everybody jumps on their bandwagon, it's like, just odd. But anyway, Pubs, I think we should start the pick.
Okay. Yes. All right.
This first game is in London. Is going to be a very early starting game. I think the start is 9:30 in the morning, something like that, tomorrow, Sunday. The Jacksonville Jaguars are playing against the Buffalo Bills, the Beef. And the Beef are giving away 5.5 points to the Jaguars, and the over-under is 48.5.
Wow. So hold on. Once you go out of town, and you go out of country, you just don't know what the playing surface is going to be like. I've seen games abroad, watched them on TV, and the field is just atrocious.
Well, No. I understand what you're saying, but realize that the Jacksonville Jaguars have played in London more than any other team almost combined.
I was going to bring that up. I'm thinking they played in Europe like 4 out of the last 5 years at least.
Did you play last weekend?
Yeah, I know.
They should be the London Jaguars. This is why they keep trying to do this. London wants a football team, and Jacksonville shouldn't have one. No, they keep doing this for this reason, Paul. So it's the same thing. They got two games this year, and it's in a row. So it's ridiculous. But, yeah, so there's, to me, like, but Jacksonville in London is a record. They already won this year earlier, last week. So, in my opinion, they're going to lose.
Right. Well, hold on. If they played in there last week, right?
Yeah.
Just get, dude, there's the time change you have to deal with and all of that of traveling abroad. It's like, if they stayed, they might have the upper hand. And we're still waiting for Trevor Lawrence's breakout game this year, right? They've underperformed. The Jaguars as a team have underperformed. And they've got weapons. They've got Etienne now, the running back. They've got receivers. They drafted Zay Flowers. They have weapons everywhere. And they haven't produced yet. So I don't know. If you're looking at it like some sort of movie script or whatever, like I think Jacksonville's due to lay one on the Bills. I truly believe that.
And I can see it. And I had Jacksonville ahead of this. I changed it to Buffalo. I just think Josh Allen knows the writing is on the wall. He's heard Stephon Diggs have public claims of just being disgruntled. I thought Buffalo's window was done last year. And I think now Josh Allen realizes his window is done no matter what this year. He's got to do it. And Trevor Lawrence is going to have a long career in Jacksonville regardless. So I'm going to take Buffalo on this, but...
No, we both understand each other's picks. We can both see it the other way, right? Well, I'm just saying, as for the script of things, like Buffalo, dude, and they came out and they put the Dolphins out back in the woodshed, and they whooped them. They whooped them. They did. Straight up.
Oh, yeah. Well,
but like I'm saying, if Jacksonville stayed in, which I don't see why you would cross the continent a couple times in 2 weeks. Like, you might as well just be there, find home base, and do whatever.
Yeah, I'm not sure about it all, but I weighed it out. And Jacksonville, historically, they're around 500. They just won one game. I'm going with Buffalo just based upon that fact.
Okay, yeah, I understand. I mean, I was just seeing it through my eyes, I guess, what I see, but.
Oh, yeah, no.
Okay, what's the next one?
No, the next game, it's the Houston Texans versus the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons are giving away 1.5 points at home, and the over-under is 41.5.
Wow, that's a low one. That's a low over-under, 41.5. You're looking at 22-21 to bust the over-under. It's not a high-scoring NFL game. But what do we have? Like, we have the Atlanta Falcons. They have weapons. They have weapons everywhere. But they have Desmond Ridder as a quarterback. So,
yeah,
jury's still out. Third-round pick last year, right? Okay, not the highest draft pick. You're not saying we're drafting you to be number one. He played better than Marcus Mariota. Remember the Mariota stuff last year, and Mariota just ended up leaving the team. He just left.
Right. No, and they're still trying to replace Matty Ice. So.
No, and Matt Ryan's in CBS somewhere. No, Matt Ryan plays for CBS.
Right. Yeah, it went Matty Ice, Mariota, Ridder.
Yeah. So they have Drake London, high draft pick wide receiver, Kyle Pitts, hybrid tight end. I don't wanna label him as an Eric Ebron, but like he was just a high volume catch guy tight end. Like a hybrid wide receiver. He's not known for blocking, which a tight end is supposed to do, right? It's part of the job. But they have weapons. And they got Bijan Robinson with a sixth pick. And that's a high draft pick, right? The highest running back drafted since who? Saquon Barkley, third overall, when he went out in the 18 draft. So, I don't know. Atlanta's at home. Who's getting the points? Who's favored?
Atlanta by 1.5.
Wow. We'll take Atlanta this week. We'll take Atlanta, get right at home, home cooking. The best I got. Like,
oh, no. And here's where I'm going with Houston and why I'm going with Houston.
Please do.
No. This Houston defense has created such problems with two different quarterbacks. That are still young. And Ridder is younger and less experienced than he is two quarterbacks. And then C.J. Stroud hasn't thrown an interception yet. Yeah. I got Houston walking all over Atlanta probably by 19.
Wow. No, I understand that. Yep. And I'll probably refer to you on that one. It's probably a better pick, looking back on it.
You can always change your opinion. Yeah, this show, we can do that.
No, I'm locked in.
All right.
I'm betting the under. Well, actually, no, don't bet the under on this game. Houston might put up 48 points.
No, that's where, like, I really think – they're just counting on the Atlanta defense to do anything. And I don't see that either. So,
right.
But anyway, the next thing I'll elaborate is going to be the Carolina Panthers against the Detroit Lions. And the Lions are giving away 9.5 points, and the over-under is 44.
Well, it's a rematch last year, and we hit a pivotal point in the season the Lions did. And we went to Carolina. It's like a must-win. And I think Carolina ran for close to 300 yards on us. Like 300, almost 300 yards. Like, just demoralized us. And then we had to go wait until the last week of the season to see if we can get in the playoffs. But if we could have won that game, we would have, like, controlled our own destiny. But anyway, plenty of players are left on the Lions team, and they don't want that to happen. So I'm going to take the Lions on the road and laying the 9.5. It was 10 earlier this week. They were up to 10, but there must have been people betting. to move the line.
Oh, no. You know, and the nice thing about this show is that we just do the point spreads, but we just call them straight up. So
yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, this is an easy pick. This should be Detroit. And I think the last game that you were talking about against Carolina, wasn't it earlier in the season? And CMC
not this year. It was last year. It was last year where the Lions played them. The Lions will not play Carolina twice a year unless it's in the playoffs. They're not in our division.
CMC was on Carolina at that time. Before
he was gone. It was late in the season.
He was gone? Oh, no.
No, that's what I'm saying. It had nothing to do with CMC.
Yeah, okay.
It was just they had a stable full of backs, dude. And everybody got 80 in a touchdown.
Defense is way different. His Detroit defense is way different.
And
Carolina is running a rookie quarterback, too, aren't they?
Bryce Young.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
the 5'9 guy from Alabama.
Yeah, I know who Bryce Young is. So, yeah, I'm going Detroit on this one.
No, it's tricky for Detroit because Carolina's 0-4, and then they might be a cobra that's coiled, ready to strike, right? You have to just, like, not look past them. I'm sure their coaches are doing everything to make sure they're ready for the game. But side note for that game, Amon-Ra St. Brown, doubtful, and Brian Branch, our star safety/nickelback that we stole in the second round, he's out. So it's like maybe one of our best defenders and one of our best offensive players is gone. But guess who we get back this week?
Jameson Williams.
Jameson Williams. Seth. Amon-Ra or somebody, they were just interviewing everybody when he came back. Somebody on the line said, if you don't run a 4.2 40, and you're playing defensive back, you better start backpedaling early. Like, you better he's faster than anything they've ever seen, dude. You know? So that's an interesting side note to the game. And there's no pressure on the kid, right? And he's had a really tumultuous tenure so far, really. Like, nothing's gone smooth. But, like, dude, you grab a couple 30, 40, 50-yard catches, push some back for the TD, dude, you're in. You're in the club. Everybody's going to love you. So, like, it's up to him. He can do it. Come on, girls.
All right, Pubs, the next game of the Tennessee Titans versus the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts at home are getting 2.5 points, and the over-under is 43.
All right. So is Richardson playing for the Colts? He's done with his protocols?
As far as I know.
Yeah, I'll take the Colts. The Colts at home, man, Tennessee confuses me so much, but same quarterback, Tannehill, pretty like plain and vanilla in terms of production, right? And then Derrick Henry, older running back, and I'm not saying he can't do it, but he's one of the last bell cow running backs I was talking about earlier, literally. So for Tennessee to win, they have to get up early and then give the ball to Derrick Henry 30 times. I don't see that happening. I really don't.
No, I just realized that the Colts re-signed Jonathan Taylor today. And they gave him like $26 million and whatever guarantee for 3 years.
Yeah, okay, yeah, $42 million over 3 years. So, is he going to play, though?
Well, yeah, that's the whole thing, you know. Yeah, there's a lot of factors in this game. There's a lot of weird factors. And both these teams can be playoff teams. And I think in the AFC, I don't think either team is going to be in a playoff team.
No, I think they're on the cusp of it, though. I think they're on the cusp.
Well, and there are teams that have been right there for the last, whether they've been in or out, but just right there the last 3-4 years, both of them.
Right.
I just think this year, I don't think either team has it, you know? I mean, especially when I'm seeing a team like Houston. They're going to screw this whole AFC playoff thing into disarray. And you know what? You guys both play in the same division as Houston, and I think they're better than either of you two. And they just beat Jacksonville, so tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, they took Jacksonville off, and Jacksonville was an up-and-comer. But, like, I don't know. I think maybe Houston might be one of the fun stories of the first quarter of the season, right? It's like shaping up. Yeah, 2-2, whatever, but that's solid. You're not eliminated from
my Houston
story. You're not
story.
4-4 and it's already over.
Well, yeah, but part of my Houston story is really I'm more impressed with the defense than C.J. Stroud having certain attributes and accolades for his whatever first X amount 4 games as a rookie quarterback. That defense is for real. They are going to get after any quarterback, and they are going to attack you. So, I don't know. It's going to be fun. But anyways, I got Tennessee in this game. You got Indy?
Who do we have?
So I have Tennessee and you have Indy?
Yeah, I'm definitely picking Indy. For sure.
All right. Now the next game, the New York Giants, the G-Men versus the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins, 12.5 point favorite, and the over-under is 47.5.
Take the Dolphins, take the over. Not even close.
And this could be an embarrassment of a game. You know what I mean? Like,
it could be 56-7 early in the third. Literally. It literally could be.
Now the Giants can surprise you. This can be a team that you have no idea what's going on, and they win this game 40-37. But not today. Not tomorrow. Not Sunday. Not anything. No, this is going to be in person, and it's at Miami. Oh, and Miami is going to want to slaughter. Their fans just saw 70 points at home the last time.
Yeah, and then they just got the Buffalo Bills just handed them their lunchbox, dude. You know? So they have retribution on their mind.
Yeah. No, I mean, Mike McDaniel is going to go out there, instead of just letting people, like, make play calls for his team or something, give him, like, a Sega Genesis, handle and, let him maneuver, like, the actual things with a paddle, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely taking the Dolphins. They're an elite team also, I think.
No. They're for real. That was their first loss against Buffalo at Buffalo. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, everyone, if you think the Dolphins suck now. I don't think so.
Well,
you know. And on top of it, they held their own for a while. So, good for
them. Yeah, and Josh Allen really needed to get going into that also. He was kind of sputtering before that. But he put it together.
Yeah, the Buffalo team is 3-1. If this Buffalo team is 2-2 against Jacksonville going to London, I'm picking Jacksonville.
Right.
I was going to pick Jacksonville before I even made the pick today. And then I thought about it. I was like, mother effer, Josh Allen probably has this figured out. And he says, if I don't do it this year, this ain't happening. That's
not
a little
year.
Little pep in the steps. All right. So the next game, the New Orleans Saints, the Aints, are playing against the New England Patriots.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no. Oh, no. And I thought about this
does
game.
Does it come with 2 NyQuil included? Like,
no. What it does come
NyQuil,
with.
Watch this game.
What it does come with is a true pick. It's a pick home. And the O'Connor is 30 and a high.
Oh, my
so
gosh.
This is a better wet dream, right? Yeah, this is the thing you want to avoid. You don't even want to touch this game if you're a better using.
No, you don't. You don't. Where is it at?
It's at New England.
Oh,
this is what makes
nothing
worse.
That doesn't mean nothing. But hold on, who's starting for the Saints? Who's their starting QB?
I don't know 100%, but I have to presume because I don't assume anything, anyone. But,
yes.
Mac Jones.
No. Okay, for the Patriots, who's starting for the Aints?
Oh, it's probably Carr.
Wasn't he hurt? Wasn't he banged up?
He's always banged up. He always comes back, whether you want him to or not.
I like, I'll call it this way. I see Mac Jones getting, like, taken out of the game early. Bailey Zappe comes in and New England gets the victory. If it's a true pick 'em, that's what I see.
I actually like your scenario twist.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to go with New England only because they were at home. And I didn't even know the point spread. And I was like, this is going to be a truly terrible game. Like, this should be a pick'em. And then it was the only pick'em of the week. And I'm like, and then when I saw the over-under 39, I'm like, yeah, that's about as low as they usually go.
Yeah. Moving right along.
Yeah, I don't think we have to spend much time with that. And unfortunately, that really could be a fun football game to watch to a certain aspect because it might be close the whole way, but it might be garbage.
It might be 3-0 after heading into the third. It literally could be.
Oh, no.
Sorry. Like, the Saints have, like, Chris Olave, and I've been watching his targets and his catches this year. Dude, he's targeted 3 times, 2 catches for 17. Dude, he's such a weapon that they could use. They just don't know how to utilize him yet. I don't think him and Carr are on the same page.
Well, good luck with that, since I'm a Carr fan. Good luck with that.
Right.
Yeah. All right. The next game, this is a tough one for me personally, but the Baltimore Ravens versus the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Steel Curtain. And the Pittsburgh is 4.5 points at home. And the over-under is 30. So it does get lower than 39, but that's about it.
Oh, just a good old-fashioned AFC North matchup?
Yeah.
I don't know, Lambjack.
The Steelers are getting 4.5 at home. But really, this game doesn't matter where it's played at. There is no home field advantage either way.
So close.
But the Steelers are getting points at home, which means everyone thinks the Rams are going to kick their butts.
Yeah. I'm going to take the Ravens. Straight up, I definitely take the Ravens. And, like, they need Lamb Jack to turn back to 2019 MVP Lamar Jackson. He got his money. Like, he negotiated it. Had no agent or whatever. So he kept all the money. But he made his mom the agent. So maybe he cut her in. But whatever. But I like Lamb Jack. No. It's literally, truly, that's a real story. That's a real story.
I know.
So, yes, I'm going Ravens. Like, the Steelers, I just don't see anything about them that stands out right now. Not one aspect of the game of football.
Well, can I tell you one thing about the Steelers against the Ravens compared to the Steelers against the Cincinnati Bengals or the Steelers against the Cleveland Browns? Is the Steelers against Baltimore Ravens, it seems like they're closer in proximity by miles, but the fans are kind of like way more one way or the other, and their lines blur. And this is hard-fought game every single time, no matter where it's played. And it's going to be brutal. I mean, there's going to be like 2-3 dudes on both sides of the ball. They're leaving the game.
What's the over-under 38 and a half or something like that? Like 38. Something lower than 38 even?
Yeah.
So if it's a 19-19 tie...
Oh, no, and it's just when these teams, it sucks because when these two teams play each other at the end of the regular season, by chance or per se, and also it happens to be the last game going into whichever one wins, they go to the playoffs, whichever one loses, they don't. And it's a full-blown Roman versus Roman battle that they're just going to destroy each other. And then whoever they play the next week, you're screwed. And they're going to do it from here to eternity. They're not going to change their mindsets. So when these two teams play each other,
they're just going to deplete their troops for this matchup and then just forsake the rest the next two or three games, right?
Yeah, they don't even care. Nope, it's who won today. And I'm going to only go Pittsburgh because Houston kicked the crap out of Jacksonville, and then Jacksonville won. And then Houston just kicked the crap out of Pittsburgh, so now they're going to win.
Okay, I accept those terms.
This is a mark of a different general. All right, the next game, the Cincinnati Bengals are playing against the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, my goodness.
At home are getting 3 points, and the over-under is 44.5.
Seth, this is such a wild thing. It's like Cincinnati has been playoff darlings the last couple of years, right? It's like great story. Joey, bag of money over there. Like, he's good. He's a great quarterback. Like, the injury bugs hit him. And, like, you just... Dude, they've laid some eggs this year. They literally,
well,
I don't know if they changed coordinators or anything like that. Like, totally different team. But that being said, I'm still taking the Bengals over whatever they got going on in Arizona.
We know Joey, whatever he wants to call himself, any of these names, and they're fine, dude. He's always been able to back it up. So I'll defend all his names to the end. But what I will say is you're hurt. We know you're hurt. You're playing hurt. Everyone knows you're playing hurt. And you know what? There comes a certain
you're
point.
You're sending everybody. Every down. You're sending everybody.
You have to say, hey, what's their record right now, Paul? Let me ask you that.
Are they 1-3?
They're 1-3, right?
Yeah.
If
not
Joey,
many 1-3 teams make playoffs,
Joey
by the way.
If Joey knew he was hurt, even going into week one, and he would have sat for 4 weeks, right? In theory.
Right.
How much better would he be going into week five being competitive, right? Competitive? Where, what would the worst scenario been at that point? The team was 0-4 compared to 1-3? And now where are you at in health-wise? I mean, you might be screwed the rest of the year. Like, unless, like, he just knows this is a type of injury, you just have to play through it. And trust me, people, there are some that are like that. It is rare. But if he's doing this and he's, man, he might have jeopardized the whole season for the Bengals. And that whole season for the Bengals could be disastrous going into multiple years because of this year. Like that.
Dude, and AFC Central is such a winnable division, right? You put up 10 or 11 wins, you're probably going to take it. You know, and it's a 17-game season. So if you go 10-7, you can probably take that division. You know? And the thing that sticks out to me is when they were 0-2 and Joey B's coming back.
You're saying AFC North? No.
Yeah,
the AFC North.
Will win.
It is a very tough division. They all beat up on each other. There's nothing you can do.
So I'm saying that they're going 10-7 will take it.
10-7 might take it. Yeah, right. I mean, I wasn't disagreeing. I'm just saying it really sucks. It should be 11-6.
Yeah, well, you know, semantics. But
Go ahead.
When Joey B, when Cincinnati was 0-2, and they asked Joey B, like, why did you come back and play? Obviously, you're still hurt. He said, pretty much, paraphrase, like, the fear of going 0-3 put me back on the field today. And they won the game. So they were 1-2 at that point. But, right? So it was like, they got the field general back. But, yeah, if you're not right, man, you're not right. If you can't do even 50% of what you could usually do, it's a horrible feeling, man. Horrible.
Oh no. And that's where it really sucks for certain backup quarterbacks is that certain hurt quarterbacks that are the QB1 that are 85%. The coach would rather have them in than you. Just think about that.
Right. Right.
And it's, in all honesty, a better option. But then,
no, if you look at baseball, they have
the
stats win above replacement. Your WAR, right? Joey B's WAR is probably 4 or 5.
And then they zone in on football. Like, yeah, it's the worst sport to really play hurt. Because you can get super hurt beyond control that, football is pretty violent.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, you know, it's tough, Pubs. It's tough.
Yeah. I definitely studied stuff.
Well, to me is one of the most interesting, fun games. Doesn't matter the outcome. Doesn't matter the score. There are so many different things that are happening here. That's always happening in a fun place like L.A. or technically just outside. But the Philadelphia Eagles.
Sunny Alameda.
The Philadelphia Eagles are playing against the Los Angeles Rams. And the Rams are getting 4 points at home. And the over-under
okay.
is 50.5. 50.5 over.
Wow. Okay, now we're betting football at 50.5. Now we're playing numbers, right? the 38 didn't move the needle for me. It really didn't. But, yeah, 50.5. Yeah, that's a game. Now we're looking for some offense. So what do we have? We have the Rams. We have Stafford. He's just perpetually banged up. And honestly, he should get mad respect, dude. He should get mad respect for playing hurt so often.
Let me just stop you real quick and just let you know that Cooper Kupp came off of injured reserve officially by all the measures and the metrics. So he's technically going to play tonight also alongside, I can't say his name maybe accurately, but Nacua?
Yeah. No, Seth, they're mirror images of each other. They're short space.
I know. This is like Waddle
and
Reception. And it is like, all right, dude, you can only guard one of them.
Okay, if you're an offensive coordinator, if you can't build an offense out of two guys that can go out in short space and create havoc, dude, you got to be able to run the long ball in there. But who's going to catch the long ball for him? Van Jefferson, maybe? Like, who else do they got? Like, they don't – is Allen Robinson still playing for him or no? I don't know.
No, I'm not sure of that either. I'm just saying you already had all these weapons. You already had everything that was going. The Rams are doing way better than people expected, which is kind of funny. When people just fall off for 1 year, like people thought that you're just done. And then now all of a sudden you got Cooper Kupp coming back.
Right.
I'm
no,
just saying,
he's not
Paul,
just some dude named
that's
Cooper
no
Kupp.
Joke. That is no joke. That is
right.
Not somebody, oh, you know, hey, he might help your team.
Yeah, maybe so.
And me, the guy that was holding that last position on that wide receiver four spot, but you're gone. You're the practice squad the very next day. That's how that works.
I don't like this at all.
No, this game has so many good things going about it. And people forget Philadelphia was undefeated for a long time last year. In fact, it was the Washington football team that beat them, but they just played them not too long ago. They've already been through that, but I think this Rams team right now, and sometimes, Pugs, and you'll know this, you played on numerous teams, you have a wounded teammate, injured teammate, and then they eventually came back, and even if they weren't like 100%, they were like 90 something.
Yeah, some people's 90 something percent is better than everybody else's 100%, though.
But it was uplifting to the whole team. Uplifting to the whole team. Like we got Kupp back.
Right. Yeah. We got our boy back. Like this is like the boy. Get back. Boom. Let's do this.
Yeah, and that's where I'm going on, man. That's what I'm going on right there because my heart and my mind says Philly. My gut says Rams. And if my gut's wrong, maybe I got Crohn's.
Right. Turns out it was just gas.
All right, Bob. And who did you have in this? Billy?
I think so. I mean...
But who'd you have, Bud?
I have Philly, but I could see the Rams taking them out, and it would be a better storyline for the whole NFL, right, to knock one of the top teams down a peg.
Oh, no. To me, what's always impressive is you see it every once in a while where after week 7 or 8, there's still 3 teams that are undefeated. And you're like,
yeah, for sure.
Wow. That's pretty impressive. And on top of it, if Philly does win this game, they go 5-0, and they beat this Rams team in L.A., with Cooper, I mean, that's pretty cool, dude, right?
Right.
All right, cool. Well, the next game, this could be considered a stinkout or an all-time classic. I'm not sure. The New York Jets, the Jets, are against the Denver Broncos. And the Broncos are giving away 2.5 points to the Jets. And the over-under is 43.5.
Right.
Well, Bob, I shouldn't talk about it because you already know who I'm picking.
Gotcha.
Anybody against Denver? Yeah. Lately, man, I've been going better than 500. What's going on there, Pubs? Oh, it's hard to hear you.
Yeah, I'm on the farm.
That's all right. So, who do you got, Jets or Denver?
Jets.
And why wouldn't you pick Denver?
Russell Wilson III.
Oh, well, you just named it for a lot of people. Bob Gardner might have a career day. He might have a career day, folks. He might have
He's already had three career days coming into this game. Three things. He's the number one all-time Denver Broncos receiver after this game. Touchdown and yards.
I know. Well, after this game, he might make a Chicago Bears all-time wide receiver 3 yards, to be honest. It doesn't like that much. All right. So here's a fun game. It's an interesting game. But the Kansas City Chiefs are playing against the Minnesota Vikings, Skrota. And Skrota at home is 3.5 points, and the over-under is 52.5.
Okay, that's tasty.
No, and you know Kansas City's due to lose one here and there.
Patrick Mahomes, they had the refs.
If Scrota loses this game, they're not going to make the playoffs in the NFC as bad as the NFC is. And now Kirk Cousins is total trade bait, right?
Right.
Like, you got to get rid of Kirk Cousins.
He's
someone's
going to
pick him up that's close. And they just want Kirk Cousins to get him to the playoffs this year. They'll figure out their draft pick or whatever next year. Who you got, Pubs?
I'm taking the Chiefs, dude. The Chiefs.
I'm leaning towards the Chiefs, too, and I know Scrota has a good chance of winning this game on all accords, but I think they're so far down in the pit, and they dug themselves so much of a hole, but they dug themselves in a 0-3 hole. Now, if they win this game, they're 2-3, and then look at who they beat in some of these games. Now you can't discount them. But this is a make-it-or-break game for them. And Chiefs are just already on a next gear. I'm going with them. Now, here's a fun – this is probably – like, if people didn't watch football and they just – like, hey, I want to watch a football game this season. I would recommend this game. I don't know how it's going to end up. I don't know how it's going to end up. It could end up crazy in either. But to me, Dallas at San Francisco, San Francisco giving away 3.5. The over-under is 45. This is going to be a good football game. These are some good football teams.
Fucking piece of shit.
Who is San Francisco playing?
Who?
Yeah, who is San Francisco playing?
I couldn't hear you, Pubs. Who's still playing?
Guys.
Yeah, hold on.
Oh, shit, I heard it.
What, you done?
Who, me? No.
Oh.
Hello.
Yeah, no, what's up, Pubs? So who do you got? Dallas, San Francisco, and why?
Dallas, San Francisco?
Yeah.
That is the good old-fashioned Madden Summerall calling the game football game, right? Isn't it?
Oh,
isn't it just
Madden,
one of those?
Oh, dude. This would be the game of the week, right?
I'm not
right.
Yeah. Stop talking so you can pay attention. Stop talking. It's I'm tired of repeating myself. This is fucking ridiculous. This is horrible fucking radio.
No, I did hear Skeet. Skeet, you know you're on the air, right?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm not on the air.
Yes, you are.
That's why we can talk to you. No, I thought about this game for a long time, and I was like, you know, I think San Francisco is
the most complete team right now.
Fucking microphone.
In the league. And I just have to say that if this was in Dallas, that maybe Dallas might be able to win this game by like 3 or 7. But I think this game is in San Francisco. I think they are the most complete team in the NFL, not just the NFC, not just the AFC. I think they beat Dallas by, I want to say, like 11. You know, just enough. Just to let them know. And it could be more, to be honest. But
can you hear me now?
Just need the least amount to win by.
Yes.
How can you fucking hear me?
I can hear you.
I have no microphone.
To me, this is the game is it's the most compelling game of the week, like best matchup, right? And
yeah,
either one could win, and either one, like I think Dallas needs this win way more than San Francisco does. Like, so if Dallas gets this win, it will shut up Dak's haters, right? And there's plenty of them, and then. But San Francisco, they are top to bottom just a ball club. They're a ball club.
Oh,
and
no.
They're rocking like a 6th or 7th round draft pick as the quarterback, Brock Purdy. He beat out Trey Lance, who was the number 3 pick overall like 2 years ago.
He gone.
Yeah, I know. He's gone. But who even adds a little more salsa to this burrito, right? It's like he's the backup quarterback in Dallas now.
Mr. Irrelevant.
No, he's not irrelevant at all.
Oh, if you can hear me, we've got a caller.
Yeah, we've got a caller.
Okay, hold on a sec. How? I don't know how you can hear me. I don't even have a microphone on. I was playing a couple of videos. Maybe you heard that, but I wasn't even talking.
No, we heard you.
I know. No, I wasn't talking when you said I was on the air. I was playing a video, and I was like, what's going on? I was playing a video. I was trying to listen. I didn't want the video to be on. I was just listening to you. But the video was on, so the last 4 digits are 6-2 or 6921, and you're on.
Good evening, Captain.
Well, you're going to have to talk to these guys because I can't talk.
Oh, no.
Yeah, what would you like to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, it's your Jersey guy here who calls in. Yeah.
Jersey?
Okay, good. Yeah, I call in every week.
Lou?
Yes.
He's Lou.
Yes.
Lou, what do you think about Dallas and San Francisco? Is this not one of those games that if you didn't really know NFL football, you were kind of interested in the game, wanted to watch a game, would this be one of the games that maybe you might want to actually take a look at?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I'm thinking there's going to be an upset here. This is not even if the 49ers do come away with a win, it's not going to be easy. This is going to be a very tough game for them. So I would pencil this on the calendar for sure. This is going to be a game of the week right here. Pencil it in.
So Lou's saying that Dallas is going to take him out?
Yes, I did.
No, okay. All right. Is this a Micah Parsons-based decision that you're making right now? Because honestly, I can see that happening. If he gets loose in the backfield and then you hurry said 6th or 7th round pick quarterback Brock Purdy, like, I can see it. I can totally see that.
Yeah, and, you know, Purdy's going to have to, you know, lose a game at some point. So I'm thinking this might be the game.
Right. But overall, yeah. Purdy played great. He's played great, like literally. Just a long line of errors of 49ers quarterbacks, right?
Like, you know, Pubs, I think no matter what, when you look at great quarterbacks, we have to look at longevity of career of what they've done. And most of them, we really can't compare it till it's about 4 years. And really, most NFL quarterbacks last about, 2.5 to 3.5 years? So they're out of
okay.
the game. It gets to a certain thing, but when you see a quarterback at 4+ years and they're now consistent and they do these things, now you know this is going to be – now Purdy's been phenomenal so far. But
yeah,
if he carries
this second year, he had reconstructive elbow surgery in the offseason. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was a major league pitcher and got a reconstructive elbow.
Yeah.
Everything's held together with screws. That's
yeah,
what makes it a great story. Like,
no, and Aaron Rodgers, tore his Achilles. He's drinking this Himalayan, like, peyote tea. And he's going to come back this season for the playoffs if the Jets make it, right? He's going to fire
Aaron Rodgers?
Doctors. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, that's what he's been telling people.
He won't come back. The mind is a beautiful thing. I'm not doubting him. What if he does come back and just dominate, dude? Then what? Then what are we going to talk about?
No, I'm going to see
that's
if I
what makes it fun.
What would this be, you know?
Right.
I don't see him
come
back this year.
Caller from Jersey, who's your home team? Like, who have you rode and die with every year?
New York Jets.
All right. So the Jets. So, man, the Zach Wilson thing.
Hubs,
here's the thing.
Lou is normally a co-host, so he's not just a regular
right.
caller.
Okay. No,
just
I
saying.
Know. I'm just trying to get to meet him. But it's like, okay, so the Jets, they've got plenty of storylines going on. Plenty of storylines.
I want to kiss you.
They're
your name is the Colbert.
The Colbert deemed unsafe at any speed, the Chevy Corvair. Like, But anywho, so Zach Wilson, like, I don't know, he needed a big brother to beat him up and tell him when he's wrong and do, you know what I'm saying? He did. And honestly, if Rodgers doesn't get hurt, it's the best thing for Zach Wilson's career. But now, okay, where we're at, Rodgers can still be a great mentor. And every time Zach comes off the sidelines and Aaron sees something that Zach didn't or whatever, it can still be fruitful long term, totally long term. Because the kid's got a rocket arm. That kid can missile the ball around.
Exactly.
Yeah, so could Jamar Russell.
Jamarcus?
mm-hmm.
Right. But anyway, the Jets are still 2-2, right?
1-3.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, Pubs. Sore subject.
They could have pulled it off against, you know, last week, but I think maybe the Chiefs are just too much for them.
Yeah.
But I think, like, Garrett Wilson's a gem, a total gem. Sauce Gardner, Breece Hall, they said this week that they're taking the training wheels off. Like, he has no restrictions. But if you look at Breece Hall before, kid is a playmaker. He's a total playmaker. So, like, it's still early, right? And people go on 10-game winning streaks and crap like that.
No, but
change a whole season.
No, but Lou, now that you're on the show, let's just be honest.
Yes.
You don't beat Denver in Denver, and I know Denver's favored by 2.5. Yeah, this whole season's done, right? It's over.
Yes. Remember, Denver has no defense. So if you can't be a team that has no defense, you are in a lot of trouble. You won't even deserve to win to play the rest of the season. You have to win this game against Denver. This is a must-win game, even though it's only week 5 of the season. But this is a must-win game.
Yeah, no, like people don't realize the AFC is already so competitive. And now, like, you even bring in a team like the Houston Texans that are 2-2. They could possibly be 3-2 after this week. This is a team that no AFC team even planned being in the AFC hunt. Everybody kind of knew who everybody was. Oh, no. You don't want to be 1-4 right now. You just don't want to be 1-4 in the AFC.
You know, only 1-4. If you're 1-4, it's going to be a difficult. It's going to be a difficult hill to, a difficult hole to climb out of.
Well, in the NFC, it's maybe possible. AFC, I don't even think so, unless you're like the Kansas City Chiefs. You have to be somebody that's amazing, that there's something crazy. Other than that, no. Because everybody's so similar. All these teams are that good. And look at how many great quarterbacks are in the league, let alone in the AFC.
That's sick.
You might be adding the name C.J. Stroud. You might.
Yeah. You might, Rabbit, you might. Yeah. I mean, nobody – well, let's look at it this way. Before Rodgers got hurt, I mean, a lot of people, I think, were taking the Jets to do a lot better than they are now. Had Rodgers not been hurt, it would have been. But since then, you know, all expectations just went fly out the window, and they went back to their old selves again. And it just becomes one problem after another.
Well, no, and that's the bad thing. This is why, like, running back by committee – seems to be a bigger thing than having a higher paid running back per se. It's they had all this money towards this quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, and that's fine. But now he's hurt, and normally most teams don't have a backup. Like, you're really kind of screwed if you got a $25+ million quarterback. You really are. Now, Zach Wilson happens to still be there, but you know, man, for the Jets fan, you knew. The greatest highlight that Aaron Rodgers did was wave the flag before the game. That was it.
Right.
But here's the thing. You still have a number one draft pick with a rocket arm. Like, and whatever anybody else thinks about the kid, right? It's like, but he's there's still a chance that he can do something. Like, maybe, you know, it's a third and long and he scrambles out of the pocket just long enough and he completes the first down. Like, something clicks for him. Like, he's got talent. He can push the ball to Garrett Wilson 60 yards down the field. No problem. You know what I'm saying? But, like, he has to figure out how to do that. Like, I'm not giving up on him.
No, but then he dropped that ball at the end that cost him the total game. Just dropped it right on the handoff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. totally blows the whole game. Awesome. That was it. You can take a snap? Or am I wrong, Lou?
All right.
Well, let's go to the last game. The Green Bay Packers against the Las Vegas Raiders. And the Raiders.
Oh, my goodness.
I've given away 2 points, and the over-under is 44.5.
So, let's see. The Packers have had 10 days off, right? Just like the Lions
the
did.
2-2, Bob. The Packers are 2-2.
No, I know. They're 2-2, and they're playing the Raiders.
Is now looking a lot better than what people thought. And I think up until this point, he only has one interception, and he has 7 TDs, but I may be off.
Yeah, but he also has, for a starting quarterback in the league, the lowest completion percentage. The lowest. But anywho.
But anywho.
They lost.
Back into this lineup this week. Christian Watson comes in this week.
No, it's what I'm saying. He's a big part of that, right? He's a huge. Christian Watson, he's so good.
No, dude.
And
he
was a second round pick, too.
Yeah, the
but
Rams
he was like out of a small school. But anyway, so you got the Packers versus the Raiders. Where at, Lambeau? Mm-hmm.
No,
I'll take the Packers. I'll still take the Packers. I don't know about Josh McDaniels. I don't know about the coach, Seth. I don't know if everybody's bought in. I don't know if you know what I'm saying. I hear a lot of whispers about that dude running a team. It's like, I just don't know.
Well,
so I'll take the Packers confidently. I'll take the Packers.
I will tell you something as a Raiders fan. I didn't want to see him come in here. He's here.
He's here. Right. Okay. Yeah. You told me enough.
He's doing these sort of things. I'm like, you know what, dude? You keep making those calls. You keep making those calls because you might not be here by the year's end. And that's fine. But, again, as a Raiders fan, I'm going through another head coach. You know, it's fine. I like Bichia or Bachia or whatever his name was. Rich Bachia?
Ken Bachia? Yes.
Yeah, we should have had him. But, Pubs, no matter what, I got to go with the Raiders. They're at home.
Raiders.
And, they're going to figure him out, you know, maybe. We'll get it done. Yeah. You know, it'll be a triumphant win, maybe by 2 or 3 points. It'll be cool. Raiders all day.
Can't play this game with your heart, dude. You can't. Green Bay has a superior by far. And that should be it.
No, I usually end up 500 on a lease call. It's okay. And I'm still top 2, 3.
You're right. The constant striving for mediocrity. You just got to stop with that. Like, I'm just looking to break even.
Yeah.
Not going to be enough.
I will be in last place, though. It'll be nice.
Mm. Yeah.
They're guaranteed wins.
What was the over-under, again, just out of curiosity?
44.5.
44.
And I would say if I was a betting person, I would go over on that. I just don't see
24-20, right?
So Watson's back and fully healthy.
These defenses are not good on both aspects. And the offenses are good enough. They're going to get this job done, I would say. What do you got on this, Lou?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said before, but by switching over to the Nashville for a second, you know, the Jets, I mean, the Giants have been, you know, I think the disappointment. I mean, ever since Barkley got injured, they have not been the same team. And let me tell you something. Danny Dimes is not your quarterback for the Giants. Definitely not. I never saw so many sacks by one player in all the years I've been watching football.
Hey, hold on, Lou. $40 million man a year. And that was cheap. The cheap on, like, a number one QB, that's cheap. That's they bought Daniel Jones cheap. But it turns out it's super expensive.
Yeah.
It's super expensive, right? And, like, I've seen so many memes with Danny Jones. You'll see him, his eyeballs, like, scared that people are coming in. But they're all, the line keeps hurt. Like, you know, if you can't even protect them and give them a chance. Yeah, I think it was just like a perfect storm for all sorts of things. But for as high as they took him, like, I think he was, what, fifth or sixth pick or something? It's something like
that.
All the draft pundits, like, tried to catch their breath. They couldn't even realize that Daniel Jones went that high. That's probably the start of it, right? It's like, oh my goodness, like we had him valued as the 20th or later pick. We took him 5 or 4 or 3 or whatever they did. But I think it was out of necessity. They had to. They had Saquon. They had a defense foreman. They were doing all these things, and then here he comes. Daniel Jones, not to save the day. Not to save the day. No,
yeah.
So it's a crazy year for New York this year for football reasons.
Yeah.
Because there was big hype on both teams. Like the Giants were the darlings last year. Like they made big leaps. They got Daboll. You know what I'm saying? Like they did all these things. And then the Jets, they went and got Favre in the offseason, and like, wow, they got a championship defense. We get Rodgers and just manage the game, we should win it. And then, yeah, everything just blew up instantly, right off the rip. It was done.
And also remember with the Jets, getting rid of Mike White, you really said, like, that part
that
of
was
your
mistake.
Team slump. That part
dude,
of your,
you know what I'm saying? I love me some Mike White. He was drafted by the Giant or the Cowboys in 2018, late round or whatever. Like he was just like second, third string. But dude, Mike White played his butt off last year. Like he should have earned a shot.
We should have kept
him. I thought. But it's like we're not in camp. We're not around the players. We don't know who the players rally around. Right? Obviously, they rallied around Mike White more than Zach Wilson. They preferred him over Zach. But then you bring in A-Rod. It's just like,
no,
yeah,
Zach,
dude, everybody's going to gravitate towards that.
Yeah, no. Zach was banging their moms.
Yeah. No, his mom's friend. Isn't that funny?
Well, this guy being mom's friend, I guess.
Right. One of his mom's friends. But, yeah,
Oh, so what else are you guys looking forward to in the rest of the NFL season?
Well, I'm hoping for the Eagles to lose, that's for sure.
So hold on, just off topic, off brand, whatever, but like, what do you guys feel about like when the quarterback runs it and then people push him from behind? I hate that play. I hate that play so much. Like, I feel like it's cheap.
Yeah.
But it's like, what if you're like a 320-pound offensive lineman and pick up a dude and just snatch him up and just start running, dude? Like, I don't know. I just don't like it. So I think the Giants' offense, a lot on that. They do that a lot. Or the Eagles.
Most mundane offenses you could ever watch in your entire life. And if you're stuck in the New York market and you actually have to watch football games, you only get to watch the Giants and the Jets. And then on top of it, one of them's at the 1 o'clock, one of them at the 4 o'clock.
I got my way to get to watch any game I want.
Oh, go ahead, Lou. Go ahead.
Okay, as long as it doesn't get out of the FCC. I found a streaming site where you can – I found several streaming sites where you can access
right.
to –
Right, but you just need to go on regular TV and watch this stuff. You know this, but, yeah, you need a streaming site. It's okay, Lou. Go ahead.
Found one that was called the TV app, and this service works great. I mean, it really does.
Oh, that's cool. What do they have? Everything?
Just about. Well, sometimes there's a signal that could get in the way, but basically you can get about 90 to 95% of games that are available. And you can also get, there's also 110 other channels you can get as well, even some of your local stations. But I think cities may vary.
Oh, no.
In fact,
I mean,
I'm streaming a game from that right now.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So some of the other streaming sites, you know, the picture gets really interrupted several times, and you have to click on and off again to get it back in motion. This one here, you don't have a problem with it at all.
Well, hey, gentlemen, if we made our last picks, we have 12 minutes left, I think, in the show.
And half.
Right.
I would be curious, because of the three people that are here, who are your Super Bowl picks? Everybody has about 2-3 minutes. Go ahead, Lou.
Well, despite the fact that they're going to lose tomorrow, I still think it's going to be the 49ers, and it's going to be against the Bills.
You got 49ers and Bills?
I do.
Oh, okay.
It's very plausible, Lou. Very plausible. Like, yeah,
no.
That can totally happen for sure. But
yeah.
I'm gonna go a little different.
I'm going
Dolphins.
No.
49ers.
Pubs, we're not done with Lou. Lou.
All right.
You said. San Fran against the Bills or the Beef.
Yep.
What's the score and who do you have winning?
Okay. I think it's going to be a fairly high-scoring game. I'm going to say 31-24.
Wow. So you're going Buffalo's first win Super Bowl ever.
Yes.
Wow.
It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen.
No, we heard it here first, people. If it happened and it's his exact score, he's a prophet. All right, Pubs, let's hear yours.
I'm going Dolphins versus the 49ers.
Okay.
And Dolphins by three. Dolphins by three.
Wow. What's the overall?
The over-under? 50.
No,
we're doing 50 piece.
The overall score. Yeah.
The overall?
Yeah.
I'd probably do like 35-28, dude. Seriously. And here's the thing. It's like San Francisco has just a behemoth defense. But if Mike McDaniels can figure it out, he can exploit it, right? So it's like they only give up 3 points, 10 points, 17 points, and then all of a sudden he sees some weakness, boom, they can put up 35-40 on him. So, yeah, 35-28, that's what I would say.
You know the funny thing about Mike?
These are way too early predictions on the Super Bowl, by the way, right? That's what we should label them as.
Right.
Way too early predictions.
Pubs, the funny thing about Mike McDaniels is he was a ball boy in Denver.
I saw that.
This guy knows the nuts of ball.
Did you see the big diamond post studs in his ears, dude?
Drinking the Kool-Aid, he's eating the cornbread. He's doing all of it. He's did it his whole life. This guy's due, man, I'm going to go Eagles against Dolphins. And I got,
oh, wow. That's a fun one. That's a fun one, too.
Dolphins 37, Eagles 34.
Wow. Dolphins winning it all. The 72 Dolphins can just all go to bed and shut the hell up. We don't have to hear about them anymore, right?
Yeah.
Every time the last undefeated team goes, like they're doing toast. No, as a casual football fan, that pisses me off. Like, you guys are dicks, man. You guys are total jerks, right? It's like they always do that.
No, and pubs of those
every
people
time.
People don't remember that Dolphins team, that they used to only do that in the regular season. And then the Patriots
that one year.
And then they started that crap. Yeah, F you, Dolphins.
Guess what? Patriots didn't win the Super Bowl that year, though. They went undefeated in the regular season and lost in the playoffs. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
Oh, man, that might have been a Randy Moss. Like, when Randy Moss went with Tom Brady, I'm pretty sure Tom Brady put out 50 touchdowns that year. I'm pretty sure that was a thing. Like, but I was like, you got Randy Moss. But they all said, I've watched so many things, when the Patriots, even Bill Belichick's like, dude, Randy Moss taught me so much about football. And then Tom Brady would be like, Randy Moss taught me so much about football. Julian Edelman was a rookie. Randy Moss taught me. Like, dude, he's honestly, like, he was a wizard with the routes and stuff. Like, he knew – he played the game long enough. Like, he was smarter, way smarter than anybody would let him on to be. That's a great story to me, though. Freaking, you got Moss.
No.
It's still a term, dude.
That's the whole thing. You're a great wide receiver. You can always create your own route.
Right.
And even a pre-programmed play, if they see it early enough and you made your own route, they can adjust. So you're still good. Like, yeah, Randy Moss was literally one of the best wide receivers ever in the NFL. Before
he came to the league. He came to the league with such a tarnished reputation, right? He's coming out of Marshall. I'm pretty sure he went to Notre Dame first, and they booted him. And then Marshall took him in, right?
Yeah.
And he's just leaps and bounds better than every other college receiver that year. It's not even close. And he goes to the draft, and he's dropping. And Lou, me and Seth, like back then, like we're Michigan guys, right? The Lions are our team.
Yeah.
So Lions are picking number 17 that year. We got the 17th pick. And I'm sitting there physically yelling at my TV, Lou. I'm like, take Randy Moss, take Randy Moss. Like, he's still there, and I'm yelling, and I'm yelling. And then they're like, the Lions select cornerback out of Tennessee, Terry Fair. He literally career nickelback. Like, that, he's like, you know, like, not a starter. That's who they took over Randy Moss. Next pick, 18, Vikings. We select Randy Moss, and I was so bad.
Oh, well, no, but Pubs.
Obviously, I'm salty. Obviously, I'm still salty.
First of all, I am not a lie-down fan anymore. But second of all...
No, but you follow us. They're right in our backyard.
The one thing that I do appreciate about a receiver right now for the lie-downs is Amon St. Brown.
Oh, yeah,
dude. He's so amazing.
He's a glue guy. He's a glue guy. Yeah. He's Cooper Kupp, dude.
Wherever he was drafted, whatever round, he knows the 16 guys that were drafted ahead of him at all times.
Yeah.
And he knows what he's doing against those mother effers. And I love it, dude. That is spice. That is spice. Time
set. And guess what, dude? Don't think he's not thinking about when he's lifting weights at 6 a.m., dude, or running sprints at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's got to figure it out. But it's just staying healthy, man. He's missed 2 or 3 games every year of his career. It's like, and it's tough. It's tough playing the NFL. Wide receiver, and he's a high-volume player. Like, he gets 15 targets a game. That's high volume, dude. If your quarterback's going to throw it 40 times and you throw it to one player 12 times, you've got, you know, 7, 8 other people you're throwing the other times. Like, it's high volume. But, yeah, you can run the offense through him, totally. I'm loving that the Lions are just smash mouth running the ball, dude. We built an offensive line, dude. They built an offensive line so they can run it, down your throat, run it, play action and go deep, dude. That's the whole game of football right there. Best played right there. Pound it 8, 9 times, go play action deep. Boom. Beautiful. But they built that. They built that structure. That's great, though.
Well, thank you, Pub. Thank you, Lou. Thanks for everybody for being on the show. Everybody, I wish you all a great, happy Saturday night. Goodbye.
All right.